Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're interested in buying or selling a home, there's only one person you should call, and that's Joe Azer. You can reach him at 571-989-2937. That's 571-989-AZER.
Hey everyone, Radio's Gigantor here. Just wanted to remind you all about our great sponsor, Don't Sleep Energy. You can check out their delicious energy drinks at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the Dukes promo code, that's D-U-K-E-S, to get a discount on your order. They have regular, sugar-free, and energy shots to give you the midday boost you need. Check them out at don'tsleepenergy.com. This is Both Kinds of Sports, where we cover and analyze the NFL and the NFL offseason.
That's right. The only show where the production is not the name of the show. It is Both Types of Sports. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're here all season long because the NFL offseason is more interesting than any other sports regular season. Get bent. I'm the Shootster. There is Gigantor. Good to see you, Gigantor.
Good to be back in the studio talking football.
I love talking football more than most things going on in my life. Certainly more than I like talking about my results from my blood tests, from my physicals. All right. Let's go ahead and remind everybody listening that Seren Petro, one of the best in the business, will join us on the Monk's Barbecue Hotline today. He is a radio host out in Kansas City. Boy, they've had it'd be fair to say a tumultuous offseason, Chiefs have, Tor?
I'd say so. Too many headlines for a defending Super Bowl champion. And typically you'd expect the headlines, how will so-and-so champion replace this linebacker that was stolen in free agency?
Sure. I think once they got Chris Jones to come back and Travis Kelce's coming back, because remember, it wasn't that long ago where we're talking retirement for all these guys. Do you think all this, the main players we're talking about, Andy Reid, we know Mahomes is going nowhere, but do you think they all come back if they don't win that second Super Bowl? And they're trying now for the Holy Trinity, which no one's able to do?
I think I think Chris Jones is probably out. I think Kelce, if he doesn't win that one, I think he's still probably back because he just realizes he's the money machine for the NFL. How could he ever stop that cash flow?
Well, if he's physically getting beaten to shit and there's a nice lucrative post-career waiting for you. I don't know. I'm going to ask Seren's there, boots on the ground. I feel like the Chiefs are always controversial. I feel like if it's not their players and domestic abuse, if it's, the coach is having problems with his family, the tragedy, if there's not, the wife of the fucking quarterback is all up in the fans' grill dumping beers on people in Buffalo. Like, I don't know. I just feel like they don't really care. I mean, the argument that a Super Bowl is very difficult to win and you need to be completely locked in and everyone has a target on your back, so why would you want to provide all of these off-season distractions? I agree with that. But I also don't think that the Chiefs are affected by it, at least not as much as other teams. Because, as we talked about last year, Tor, they appeared to be over the hill midway through the season and ended up winning another Super Bowl.
We'll see what they look like in September. I don't expect much of them in September. Why would they respect that month? That's where I see the controversy in season, is their terribly slow start and questionable losses that pile up at the beginning of the season. But because Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback and they play in a very cold atmosphere late in November and December, they get wins. They do, because no one wants to play there. No one wants to duel that guy, and they do run the ball kind of hard. So I see why they do get wins, but the controversy in the early season, I would hope, would end.
Pro Football Focus has the other three teams in the AFC West being in the bottom 10 teams in the NFL. So you also have the fact that, you know, every once in a while the Raiders get all uppity and they go in there and punch them in the mouth. But it would not be a stretch to believe that they're going to get 5 out of 6 wins inside of the division. If they do that, they're hanging around 500. I mean, hanging around 500 while their dick's still in the dirt. So it's just on whether or not you believe Harbaugh's going to have the Chargers galvanized in year one. They're going to have any, you know, trouble in that division.
Yeah, the Broncos are going to be real bad. Chargers could be real bad. The Raiders are probably going to be mediocre.
I would say right around 500 where they have been the past couple of years. We'll see.
I've got a bit of a double whammy here. A Kyle Shanahan double whammy. Did you see his new look at the wedding?
No, I did not. Was that Clyde Edwards-Helaire's wedding?
It was Christian McCaffrey's wedding.
Christian McCaffrey's wedding. All
and,
right. I did not.
He's donning
a lot of weddings in the offseason.
Donning a new look, far right, mustached, glasses, slicked back hair.
What is with everybody wanting to look like Dr. Disrespect? It's very weird that everyone's like, I have to have a big fucking 1970s Burt Reynolds stash and I'm going to slick my hair back. Who's the first one to start doing that?
You know,
you notice that's a thing now, right? With just about everybody. If they change their look, it's, I have to get as much pomade into my hair as possible, and I got to grow a big old soup cooler.
So that, it's just not your look, Shanahan. You're a brain piece.
He's a clean-cut guy.
You're not a dick slinger. You're not Mr.
You think he
mustache.
Looks like he's a dick slinger
well,
right there?
I think
there?
He's trying to look like he's a,
like
know,
a Lothario?
Oh, look at me. I'm going to stand out of instead of all these clean-shaven young coaches, you know, I'm the semi-young coach with a mustache now.
I won't say who showed me this video, but maybe I can tell you something that might change your mind. I saw a video when Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator of the Washington Redskins at the time of him at their Christmas party, I believe, doing the worm on the fucking floor of the bar and doing it really, really well. I think Kyle Shanahan likes to get after it. You know, just from what I've seen, I don't have any confirmation other than that. So maybe if he's a little wackier than we know that he is from his public persona, that would not surprise me all that much.
I don't think I would dislike it, but at the same time, you were in the Super Bowl and you are the coach of a fantastic team, the 49ers. And the second whammy here is Shanahan just raining on everyone's parades about Christian McCaffrey's re-signing.
Yeah.
He's saying he doesn't want to burn out C-Mac this year, and I get it. He says we have guys that can run the ball. Not like him. You don't
no, that's
have guys
true.
That run like him. And I know protecting the star for the playoffs, it's going to be an interesting navigation tool for all these teams moving forward that are in playoff positions. But, God, this leaves a taste in my mouth like load management. NBA, where people are going to the games, they don't see their star players playing.
I understand that, but the swoon after a season like McCaffrey had for running back specifically is real tour. And this is a guy that has missed significant time in his career, specifically with Carolina. And I know that you watched last year when Elijah Mitchell got into that offense, and he isn't going to be as dynamic as McCaffrey. No one's going to be as dynamic as McCaffrey. There's probably... Would you say maybe Breece Hall if he was in that offense? I know he made some comments this season about wanting to be that guy, but as far as a pass catcher and a dynamic runner, who could you say? Maybe Jonathan Taylor at the height of his powers? I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's not wrong. They've got other backs. They've got weapons all over the fucking field. They got the best linemen in football. I actually agree with him. I think that they've got to be really, really careful because when it came down to nut cutting time, you and I have talked about this on this show. That was who they ran the offense to. They couldn't get anything else done. The difference between, we've lost Deebo Samuel. All right, now we're fucked. Our offense looks completely anemic. No. We have Christian McCaffrey. Whoever's hurt, it doesn't matter because that guy can give us 30 touches a game.
You know, maybe he's just such a pro at this point where he could have limited carries or a limited amount of carries with a similar impact. But Shanahan's saying we have to protect Christian from himself. He doesn't like to ever come out, no matter what the situation is. I think a lot of football players are like that.
Well, what's not correct about that?
Oh,
why is that raining on their parade?
Because I think McCaffrey...
Because you want to draft him 1 overall in fantasy,
yes,
and you want fucking 14 touchdowns.
I want him to have 350 touches this year. and 30 touchdowns.
I mean, they paid him enough to do it. I understand what you're saying, but if I had as few concerns as San Francisco does, the one major one, Tor, as it always has been, is health. All of their studs have a propensity to get hurt, and when they weren't hurt last year, what happened? They ended up in the fucking Super Bowl. And when they get hurt, you've got – who the fuck was the fourth-string quarterback that was out there in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago just throwing fucking worm burners?
It wasn't Mullins.
Was it Nick Mullins? Look that up, please. I need to know who that was. I need to know who it was immediately. They were down to their fourth-string quarterback. Excuse me. All right. Speaking of superstar players, I guess this shouldn't be a surprise to anybody, but C.D. Lamb of your Dallas Cowboys, America's team, not expected at training camp without a new deal. Do you have an update, Tor? Let me know.
Josh Johnson.
Yeah, that's who it was. That's our buddy.
We're in 17.
You don't know where he is right now. You don't know who he's the backup for right now. They're insane, by the way. I love Josh Johnson. I believe he played for the San Diego Fleet and the Alliance of American Football. Big fan of his. Cup of coffee with the Washington Redskins as well. Been on about 100 different teams. But if you think you're going to the Super Bowl, Josh Johnson can't be your backup. Baltimore Ravens, you're nuts. Fucking call Ryan Tannehill. Why aren't they called Ryan Tannehill, Tor?
I don't know. He's probably asking for some money.
Pay him the money.
I'm with you.
Who else did they sign?
I don't know.
Other than Derrick Henry, who else did they bring in this offseason? Other than Derrick Henry. Go call him, dummies. You think you can win the Super Bowl? All right. Calvin Watkins of the Dallas Morning News has reported CeeDee Lamb not expected to be in Oxnard, California. That's smart, by the way. What you want to do is, when it's in the heat of summer, you want to be in California for your training camp. They've not come to an agreement on the new pack. Cowboys hold their first training camp, get this, Tor, 24 days from now, July 25th. It is here, baby. We're almost there. Hall of Fame game, I believe, is August 1st. Of course, this offseason, monster deals for wide receivers all around the league, first and foremost being Justin Jefferson. Whether or not CeeDee Lamb believes he deserves more than Justin Jefferson, we'll leave that to him. There is an argument to be made, Tor, that he does, just because look at the Cowboys' offense and take CeeDee Lamb off of it and tell me where the production is going to come from. Now, do that with Minnesota, and you can see, all right, we're going to be able to survive for 3 and 4 weeks until we get our stud back.
Yeah, we have a second round, or we have a second year first round receiver that was good.
All
we have
pro running back.
Yeah, really good tight end as well. There's options there.
One of the best offensive minds probably in the league.
They're creative. They can stay afloat and win some games.
CeeDee Lamb is more valuable to the Dallas Cowboys than Justin Jefferson is to the Minnesota Vikings. So should CeeDee Lamb get paid more than Justin Jefferson?
Oh.
It's not CeeDee Lamb's fault that they got to pay Dak and they got to pay Micah Parsons and that they've botched 100 other deals leading up into this point. It's not his problem.
You know what? I think he would get paid more. Yeah, I think Dallas does pull the trigger and pay him more.
That's my argument.
Where else? You got a Cowboy wide receiver wearing 88 that is a dominant force.
Let me go and then give Dak Prescott $60 million a year and then you tell me what that looks like. That would be the beginning end of my argument if I was CeeDee Lamb. And I wouldn't show up. Now, I didn't realize he was going to get fined more than $100,000 for skipping the minicamps. That might get me to at least show up and sip some Gatorade on the sideline and say I got a fucking hamstring sprain. You know, I'll come up with a fake doctor's note to save 100 grr. But look, I don't like the Cowboys. Fuck them. I hope this all blows up in their face. But if I'm CeeDee Lamb, I say, yeah, you're going to pay me more than Justin Jefferson. You're going to. And none of the rest of this is my fault.
Because you need to. Yeah. Unfortunately, you are now hostage to me.
And I don't like the fact that the Cowboys, they seem to be under the delusion that these guys are all going to say, I'd rather play here than Carolina or Jacksonville or wherever, whatever team is going to. Amari Cooper went to Cleveland and has thrived in Cleveland with garbage at quarterback.
They treated him for a bag, literally in the NFL, a bag of chips.
And they were trying to sneak it out there that he was like older and going to be washed. And what has he done since he's gone up there? Been a top 10 receiver in the league.
Yeah. Incredibly productive.
And CeeDee Lamb is, of course, that much better. So if I was him, I'd stick to my guns.
Well, the tinderbox that is the Dallas Cowboys continues to pile up. Mm. As now there's some, not malicious words, but words exchanged through the media on the defensive side. Malik Hooker went on Keyshawn Johnson's podcast.
Oh, that's what you want to do. You want to go on Keyshawn Johnson's podcast and talk shit.
They talked a lot about the Cowboys, and then at one point, Hooker said, "My advice for Micah Parsons, would be just make sure we're all right and being where your feet are," Hooker said. "Because if we're at work and, you know, the run game's terrible, but you're doing a podcast every week and you know the run game is terrible, then what are you really caring about? Are you caring about the crowd that was watching the podcast? Are you caring about the success of our team and the Super Bowl that we're trying to reach?" Interesting. I'll say this. Malik Hooker, NFL veteran, spent some time with the bad Colts. Now he's on the Cowboys, probably wants to win some games. Parson, responded after that. He said, "Just wish you had said this to me, but instead on the Some podcast and get in person. And you got my number, family, at Malik Hooker, and you my locker mate." So Parsons was wishing this was handled in-house and not on a podcast.
Why didn't he text that to him? Why would he go public with that then? Because all these guys do this now.
Yeah, it goes both ways. A lot of clicks, a lot of views, and I'm talking about it, and it's a story that intrigues me. Yeah, there's a veteran defensive player that's calling out a young star on his focus level maybe to the team in the offseason.
I think that it's nice to say, why wouldn't you just text me this? But you're not being asked specifically a question. You're not on a show. There's a lot of factors that go into this. Now, are you saying, like, it ain't a good look?
It's not a good look.
And it causes consternation. And also, Micah Parsons is – nobody can argue that he's one of the best defensive players in the league. And him recording a podcast on his off day, I don't know if that's going to stop him from being that. But this is what the Cowboys are, though. There's too much focus. Also, Micah Parsons is kind of a dick. They brought Mike Zimmer in the offseason, and I don't know if you saw, like, they were asking him about it, the fact they haven't talked yet. He was being kind of a dick. He's like, "Well, you know, I like to do my things my own way, and he's never had a player like me." It's like, no, dude. That guy's been in an NFC Championship game coaching. This isn't what you say publicly to these guys standing in front of your locker.
He also had a prime Everson Griffin and a prime Danielle Hunter coming off the edge that we're, and they, I think we're both getting over 15 sacks a year.
I mean, if you finish 12-5 in your third straight year and then get fucking housed at home in front of your fans by a, you know, a young quarterback, this is going to be the bad taste it leaves in your mouth.
I revisited that game over the weekend,
yeah,
arguing with a Cowboys fan about that game. Holy, that first quarter, two picks and then just two gut-wrenching drives from the Green Bay offense.
They replay it constantly on the NFL Network. They constantly replay that
game. I'll always tune into it. Yeah. I'll check in and see what the young, fun Packers are doing against the loud Cowboys.
It's a mess, and you got a simp at coach, and you got a fucking Batman villain as the owner. Go fuck yourself. Like, I'm happy you can win 12 games. You crank a lot of money for the rest of these teams. I'm not just going to sit here and pretend like nothing the Cowboys do is good, but it's very clear to me why they can't get over the hump. There's always shit like this surrounding this team, no matter what they decide
just
to
distractions.
Do.
Yeah, just distractions. And these are built-in distractions. You decided to do a podcast. Okay. That's your decision. It's going to lead to some stuff like this.
I know that what Travis Kelce said is going to come up when we talk to Seren Petro. It's these guys that are doing podcast. I understand the money's there and you're building a brand. And once you leave the game, you already have a million subscribers. So that's valuable. But you're fucking – there's a reason why players didn't used to do this. Because during the season, you're still in the fucking sport. Your credibility is above that of former players because you're in the locker room. You're talking about guys you're going to be competing with and competing against in just a couple of weeks. I don't know why they do it.
It's so confusing.
I mean, I know why they do it. Yeah. I think somebody would sit them down and be like, there's a way to do this maybe where it's – The Undertaker has a podcast now, right? He didn't have a podcast when he's in the middle of the streak and he's supposed to be an undead fucking, you know, demon phantasm from another planet.
I saw him throw, Mankind off the top of the cage this
weekend.
You
just saw that, did you?
Yeah. That was a bit of a toss.
It's a fairly notable moment. You know, I actually opened for Mick Foley where he did a one-man show just about that match because he gets asked about it so much. Did you see when he threw him through the cage and his tooth came through his nose?
No, I missed that part.
You didn't see that part?
I saw the throw into the media table.
So he got thrown off, and then he gets chokeslammed, and it was botched. He wasn't supposed to go through it. He does. Hits the canvas, and then his tooth comes up through his fucking nose, through his lip. Then I still believe he does a thumbtack spot after that, too, where he takes a bump on some thumbtacks.
Goodness.
And the crowd was chanting Undertaker. Imagine the stupid fucking fat marks. Explain to you why the Undertaker was having a good moment there. It wasn't him. As much as I love him. You know I love him, Tor. Jesus Christ. We do talk a lot about the Cowboys on this show.
They're dumb and they make a lot of, you know, a lot of noise in the offseason.
I understand. We talk a lot about Aaron Rodgers, too. This was an interesting take. So he pops up. Was it Mercedes Lewis, I think, that he popped up with?
Yep.
At the UFC 303. I read this piece on Jets Confidential by Dan Leberfeld, who put me on the Pay No Mind list when I asked him to come on the show, but I still read his stuff. He said this, it's well documented that the Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers didn't attend Jets mandatory minicamp on June 11th and 12th. So when he showed up at a UFC event on Saturday in Las Vegas, it led to headlines like this. Quote, Aaron Rodgers posts photo from UFC 303 after skipping Jets minicamp. Quote, Aaron Rodgers makes an appearance at 303 amid Jets minicamp absence. Stories connecting Rodgers attending a UFC meet on June 29th and missing training camp over 2 weeks ago are foolish. Whether you think his absence from minicamp for a trip overseas was okay or not, that the idea that he's not supposed to go to a UFC event 17 days after minicamp is wrapped is a reach. Since he missed minicamp, is he supposed to stay holed up at home until the Jets training camp starts in late July for optic reasons? How stupid is that? People are reaching stuff now to make him look bad. Both things can be true, okay? 100%. People reach because they hate Aaron Rodgers. But also, one of the main reasons, Tor, that I was critical, and I heard other people being critical of him for doing this, is because the 2 days he missed now leads to weeks of this bullshit. I think women should be allowed to wear a revealing dress and walk down an alley at 2 a.m. outside of a bar in D.C. I think you should have the right to do that. I think if anyone attacks you, it's them, it's not your fault. But what can we do to enhance our chances where that doesn't happen, all right?
Yeah.
You wait under the light for the Uber to get out front. You have somebody with you. We all know these things, right? All Aaron Rodgers had to do was fucking figure out a way to be standing on the sidelines sipping Gatorade.
Just be there. He's too cold. He's too cool to be the old vet.
When's the last time he played football? When's the next time he's going to play football? You want to go to Egypt for a fucking month? Go to Egypt for a month. But figure out a way to pop in those 2 days, and then you don't give these shitheads the ammunition. Now, maybe he's 40. He's a millionaire. He's more famous than his sport now. Maybe he doesn't care.
He might be on the you can't tell me nothing stage of his career.
He still seems to be upset when people shit on him.
Yeah.
So if you're still upset that people... I mean, there's people out there. I don't think Shaq cares when people shit on him. Right? Charles Barkley gives no fucks. Stephen A. Smith. There's guys out there, it's like, you don't give a fuck what people say about you, go ahead and do whatever you want.
Right.
But Aaron Rodgers does. So go and show up to the fucking mini camps. Or go to Egypt when the Jets get bounced this year and you retire. Go to Egypt for a year. There's just a lot of, you didn't have to put yourself through this if you just would have acknowledged that if you show up, all of it goes away.
I didn't like him showing up at UFC. I feel like that kind of, I think it was almost premeditated where it softens the blow because UFC fans and I think NFL fans, chew a lot of the same dirt. They
sure.
Like the combat sports. They like the hitting. Oh, here's Aaron Rodgers at a combat event. Oh, look, one of us. No, he was just in Egypt doing who knows what, and he made an appearance back into the meathead point of view. And
so
I
you think if he would have showed up at a WNBA game, he doesn't get standing ovation?
I think if he showed up if he showed up at a Kroger down the street, he'd be like, hey, asshole, what are you doing right now?
100%. But look, that's part of the world that we live in now, and people pick and choose where they want to show up. And I think that's you're right. That is a soft landing spot for Aaron Rodgers to kind of reinsert himself into society. And I think that's important to him. Go to them and say, can we move the fucking camp and I'll show up? Move the camp a week earlier and I'll be there. What did they say? No? Did you offer that?
The Jets are a mess. Why does it every year, man? Every year after the draft, there's a month where we think the Cowboys are going to get right. The Jets are going to get right. Then now it's 2 months later and it's falling apart before can even get built.
I'd like for the Jets to get right. I find the Bills very annoying. I think the Dolphins are soft as fuck. The Patriots have had their moments.
Yeah,
God bless. Sick of you. Go away. Go away. I'd like to not hear about you for another decade.
I'd like the Jets to step up and have a real team in Media Market 1 after the Giants have been so disappointing.
Yeah. And also,
For 10 years. It's been 10 years since they haven't been an utter disappointment.
I would much rather the Jets be competitive than the Giants be competitive. I think that's a no-brainer.
I wanted to loft this hypothetical at you because I was speaking with a Commanders fan over the weekend, a very passionate one.
You're a lucky man to be able to communicate with that enlightened fan base.
I'm not sure if you've been track of this, but there's been a lot of noise about Brandon Ayuk lately and the Commanders camp.
Well, look, as much as I think a lot of Commanders fans are beyond stupid, I when the guy shows up on the dude's Instagram video and the national story about Brandon Ayuk claiming the 49ers don't want him is because he's speaking to, didn't they show up together also? Like, they've been traveling around together to places.
The latest Ayuk spoke on the Pivot podcast. Every podcast. If I were to take a guess, he'd probably end up in a Niners uniform, from Ayuk's words. And then after that, probably a Niners uniform, but if not a Niners uniform, a Washington Commander uniform, if not the Commanders, a Steelers uniform.
Okay. I mean, it's easy to say that.
Right.
The Steelers have got a really unique situation. I don't know either one of their cap situations are right now as far as those teams go. I know that the Commanders have a quarterback on a rookie deal. Justin Fields isn't making an enormous amount of money. We know Russell Wilson, most of his salary is getting paid by Denver. I think both those teams would love to have him, but are they going to give up a first-round pick? I don't think so, because then you're bringing in a guy and then you know he wants Justin Jefferson money.
Right.
So it's nice to say all those things. I don't think it carries much weight. I don't like the way Brandon Ayuk is handling all of this. I mean, a lot of players, Debo's been through this. Who's your boy in Cincinnati?
T. Higgins?
Yeah, he went through this where it's, I mean, players request a trade. This is a game. They're jockeying for position, for plow. Coming out and naming names and saying the team doesn't want me, it sounds immature to me. Like, handle this like the team is going to handle it, where it is a contractual negotiation about dollars and cents and what your perceived value is. All of these histrionics, we know the San Francisco 49ers want him there, Tor.
Yeah.
But we also know that they drafted a guy they feel good about. We also know that they're going to be able to move the football.
They figure it out.
I just don't know what he thinks this gives him a position of power, and it feels very impulsive and emotional, and that doesn't really seem to help in negotiations in any walk of life.
Now, the Commanders fire comes because Daniels and Ayuk were teammates at Arizona State, and I guess they're boys. What would you give up if you were the Commanders to bring him in?
I mean, I would be willing to...
Because the hypothetical lofted to me was, would you straight up trade John Allen for Ayuk? And I think I said yes, I would.
They got De'Ron Payne locked up, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. Allen's a monster. And he's really fucking fiery.
And I'm Team Allen, and I'm Team Allen through and through, because I think he is an NFL guy. He doesn't like losing. He wants to create a winner here.
So you're saying that over a draft pick, because I would do a second round draft pick.
I just think he's I think he's probably one of the most valuable pieces on the team.
I couldn't do it because they've got Trent Williams. I couldn't do it because Trent Williams said that he couldn't get his helmet on because he had a tumor on his face or whatever the fuck that it was. And then he's gone out there and been the best offensive lineman for the past 3 years. And by the way, stayed on the field for most of it.
Oh, you would stop dealing entirely.
I would not do anything to help them. So Terry is a one. He becomes a two in that. Dotson's a good wide receiver. They got a pretty good 1-2 punch there. I don't know if Diami Brown did anything last year.
Not much.
Luke McCaffrey was drafted. That turns into an incredibly dynamic offense if you march both of those wide receivers out there.
It could get real fun. And it's still in the hypothetical land.
And Terry's under contract, too. It's not like they paid him recently.
If Daniels can put the ball on the chest, that could be a fun offense.
Eckler's in the backfield now, too. He can catch passes. And you know Brian Robinson can fucking, you know, goal line in between. Yeah. I mean, look, I understand why people are all steamed up. I don't think the way that you do this, though, is that's you're not thinking about the winter. See, people look at that and they say, oh boy, there's a Dodge Challenger. I really want one of those. What are you going to do in February, motherfucker? Like, you still have to have a Wrangler in the fucking garage. And you want to get rid of Jonathan Allen? That defense is hardly imposing. I don't know. He might be the best player on the team.
It's I found it to be a very entertaining hypothetical, because people are buying in here. And I don't think they're the, and I'm like, oh, okay, I don't believe. I'll give them. Are you really doing the buy-in? Or are you just excited because you know you got a new quarterback? And they're no, I really believe it. I really, really believe it.
You think they look the same with Fedarian Mathis out there lining up next to Daron Payne?
I don't believe so.
I don't believe so either. Where did Dante Fowler Jr. go to the Commanders? I didn't know that happened. Watch down on that team, man.
Hey, Atlanta, we got Dante Fowler Jr. coming in from the Rams.
I'll tell you what, though.
He just won a Super Bowl.
I would bang some phone calls about that topic that you just fucking presented to me if I was still doing that horrible show. I would go back to the Chase Young, Justin Herbert conversation with all those idiots. Maybe they learned their lesson. I doubt it. All right, I got one more for you, Tor. This one's just kind of sad and funny. Jamarcus Russell, I think you were too young to really be around when he was.
Had a Jamarcus Russell rookie card.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I mean, that is a bust that you compare other busts to. Former first-round pick, big fur coat, gained 100 pounds, really went out there, went 7-18.
Hero of mine.
Got fucking booted out of the league immediately. People wanted so badly to compare him to Dante Culpepper. So I guess he's had a rather up-and-down post-NFL life. He was arrested for possession of codeine syrup without a valid prescription. A lot of guys like to take a snort of that lean.
Take the night off, like a gentleman.
Apparently, he tested positive for codeine after being drafted by the Raiders. It seems to be his beverage of choice. Recently, he has been working as a volunteer coaching assistant at his high school alma mater, Williamson High School in Mobile, Alabama. But apparently, he went to a dude that owned a business and said, hey, we need a new weight room for the boys. Do you want to sponsor it? Got this guy to write him a $74,000 check.
Yeah.
The issue is he didn't left this dude on red like women leave Tor on red on Instagram, turned his phone off, cashed the check, and so a lawsuit happened, and now people are saying, where the fuck did all this money go? And it's a big fucking mess. And so he has filed a counterclaim against Knowles, who is the guy that sued him, for stopping payment of the check. Russell has admitted to depositing it, but denied wrongdoing. According to court documents obtained by WKRG, Russell's attorney would not comment on the case when he was asked about it. But it certainly sounds like he's got some credit card problems, and he tried to bilk this guy out of several tens of thousands of dollars to try to get some of that vig down. So Jamarcus Russell, I would firmly put on the team can't get right, which is sad because that's a lot of opportunity to squander and still fucking around down in Alabama, not being able to figure it out.
I'd say this. If you're a quarterback, if you're a former NFL quarterback and you find yourself in the South and dealing in a high school's financials for some reason, get out.
Yeah, I figure out. That goes for Brett Favre, too.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck he was up to.
We're starting to see a bit of a pattern here. If you want to coach, just go coach. Don't take any money. Don't get involved with it. Don't think about it.
But he needs money. That's the
problem.
I know
he needs money.
He needs money. And when you need money, you do weird shit.
Then who can throw the ball farther than Jamarcus Russell?
There's got to be way. He's got to be able to do an LSU podcast, right?
I don't know. I don't know how, if he's untouchable from the media side or not.
It's a bad spot for him to be in, and when your name continues to come up for dumb shit, it's always a bad thing. Especially when you're in an argument for the biggest draft bust of all time. You're certainly top three or top four.
I've seen I've actually tracked the Ryan Leaf comeback more than I expected to.
There's been some ups and downs in that comeback.
Yes. But it looks like the effort is there to try to at least do something. He openly admits he's a bust and goes and talks on shows about it, and he's attempted to make a career going that direction instead of, you know.
Hey, look, Domino's came out and said our pizza sucks, and we're going to make better pizza, and it was outrageously successful for them. So one last little tidbit. We'll bring Seren Petro on here in just 2 seconds. But real quick, Tor, as far as teams and the starting quarterback battles in this league, there's a bunch of consternation about it, but the one thing that doesn't lie is odds from Vegas. Looking at this right now, Bo Nix -400 to start over Zach Wilson and Jared Stidham. That is not a surprise. What about this one, though? Gardner Minshew -200 to start over Aiden O'Connell. Now, I know that the, you know, Minshew got that free agent deal. He didn't get paid that much. And Aiden O'Connell was there, knows the system. When they finished above 500, he was the quarterback. Do you think Minshew should be the favorite in Las Vegas?
I would have Minshew as the favorite. They did the whole photo shoot with him. I mean, I don't know what Vegas's decision here was, because you have Aiden O'Connell, who is, at best, I think, a really good backup.
Sure.
And then you have Gardner Minshew, who I think, at best, is a very good backup. Are we just expecting that one of these two dudes turns into a superstar?
I don't think you should expect to win a Super Bowl with Gardner Minshew, so I would let, unless Aiden O'Connell looks completely inept and gets beaten outright in a way where you can't explain it to the guys in the locker room, I would start him. And then, because you know what Minshew is. You know he's going to go out there, move the ball for you, he's going to spray the ball all over the field. Here's another surprising one. Jacoby Brissett only giving minus 260, Drake May plus 200. Haven't the Patriots come out and said Drake May is not starting for us, Jacoby Brissett is starting for us?
Yeah.
Why aren't those odds astronomically higher?
I don't know.
I mean, he had a couple of – I saw a couple of highlights of him for those mini camps where he was throwing some fucking darts in the coffin corner. But
the Patriots are a team that did – you know, they work a lot in the shadows, but if they are saying something, normally it is they stick to that word.
Russell Wilson minus 750 to start. Justin Fields plus 450.
What? Why is that so strong?
I don't know.
Terrible.
I don't know. He's awful.
This is actually the one. This is the one in the league where I'd say give it a straight 50-50 shot at camp and let's see who is the best.
And by the way, I tell them both that. Like, hey, you guys have never played one down for us. Whoever plays better in training camp is going to start.
Hey, Russell, this is your third team in 3 years.
Yeah.
All right? You're going to have to really figure it out.
And also, I'm not in love with Justin Fields, but who would you say played better last year?
Justin
the year before?
Fields. He at least Justin Fields, the mistakes he made, they at least look like young quarterback mistakes.
Russell Wilson's stats are actually pretty impressive, but if you thought who looked more dynamic on the field, it's Fields. And then I don't know why this one was on the list, but Geno Smith minus 700, Sam Howell plus 450. Now, I know Smith regressed last season, but is Drab T-shirt called him the little person, really? Is he? I just assumed that the only people that were at all making fucking simp arguments for him are Commanders fans.
I think
he's a backup's backup.
Yeah.
He's Gardner Minshew.
Yeah. I don't know. Geno minus 700 makes sense.
It is a new head coach. You know? I was surprised he was on the list.
These aren't odds to get in a game this year, are they?
No, just to start. Just to start in this league. Let's see. Can't wait for some of these camps. I mean, it'll be fun if one of these guys like explodes past the other one. Like if we just see Zach Wilson ripping it all over the field and Bo Nix can't start. Oh, I'd be so steamed up. I'd be so excited. All right, Tori, they're going for a three-peat. They have all types of offseason consternation. Let's talk some Chiefs with our old buddy Seren Petro from Sports Radio 810 WHB on both types of sports.
The best barbecue in Virginia can only be found at Monk's Barbecue in Purcellville, Virginia. Check them out at Monk's BBQ on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and at monksq.com.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
It is both types of sports, NFL and NFL offseason. Chad Dukes, Gigantor, joining us on the Monk's Barbecue Hotline. Longtime host on Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and the Red, Gold, and Bold podcast. covering the Kansas City Chiefs tape to tape. My old buddy, Sarin Petro, is with us on the program. Sarin, what's up, man? How are you?
Good to be with you, and good that the calendar clicked over to July. We're at least in the month that training camp will begin, so football is close.
So excited, and I would imagine that you've had more than one or two call-in segments about the off-season that the Kansas City Chiefs have turned in. And look, I tend to try to not be dramatic when I talk about sports. I think so much is made of it just because this incredible scrutiny is on the NFL when you see, you know, 48 million people tuning in for a wild card game or just at another level here. So if a couple of linemen get arrested for sparking up a spliff or whatever, and they're one state over from a place where it's legal, I don't really think it's that big of a deal. But there certainly has been, you know, Rashee Rice, that's a real story. There's video. The Isaiah Buggs gets released. I mean, those charges against him are pretty awful. You got a kicker that makes a speech that everyone on X is screaming at each other about, but inside the locker room doesn't seem to be that much of a deal. I'm just curious, all of these stories that we're hearing about Kansas City this offseason, people are pointing that to having some sort of a ramification on the regular season. I just don't think that's going to be the case.
I think that's the question, right? And when you're trying to do something no one's done, and that's win a third consecutive Super Bowl, like, you'd like to think everybody's focused. And I think that's the question, is this, you know, are we going to see that, you know, Rashee Rice is going to go barreling through training camp at 120 miles an hour? I mean, probably not. He's probably learned at least that lesson, hopefully to be a little bit smarter there. He also was accused of punching somebody in a bar after that. Now, that person has since said, no, I don't want to press charges, and backed away from that situation. So you had that on top of it, and there's a bar owner that says, hey, he wasn't even drinking that. Listen, it just goes on and on and on, and you can talk about it till you're blue in the face. The bottom line is it overall a sign that they are not focused on trying to do something that is clearly very hard because no one has ever done it before them? So, yeah, and it's in the Rashee Rice case lingers over them. You know, they will continue to have this, and the question is, you know, most people think he's going to get suspended before the season starts, and he'll be out somewhere between two, unlikely, or like 4 to 8 games is what most people think. Some people are even speculating it could be the entire season. But at least with past criminal proceedings in Kansas City, the commissioner hasn't ruled with Chiefs situations. I can't tell you, I know what the other 31 teams have happened, but usually the legal process is allowed to play out first. Most people I talk to think that his legal process is not going to play out until next summer. So, could he be ready to go and play all 17 games in any postseason games they might have? Yeah, he could. Could the commissioner step in? I mean, he's not beholden to the legal system to have to act first and say, well, we can't have this guy playing and have it looming over. If he doesn't get suspended, then it's still looming over and something that they're going to be asked about throughout the entire season. So they already have a line of questions about trying to win 3 Super Bowls in a row that they are going to be pounded with, and they've done nothing but create extra drama. To your point about the two guys with the possession of marijuana, literally – I live right next to what's called State Line Road. I'm looking into Missouri. I live in Kansas. In Kansas, I can bet on sports. I walk 55 feet from my house. I cannot. In Kansas, weed possession, illegal. But I walk 55 feet from my house. It's legal. So literally these guys had something that was legal and drove all across the wrong street, literally, and ended up getting charged with possession. So it's a lot of little things other than the Rashee Rice accusations. Those are real. A guy, you know, we know how big of a lightning rod political commentary is today. Whichever side of the fence you're on, good for you. I don't care. But it is yet, you know, something that he knew and something that everybody who covered the team knew his political beliefs. And certainly I'm sure his teammates knew as well. But it's the question is, do you accept the speech? Do you accept to do the speech and go do it if your singular focus is to win 3 championships? It's fine if politics is a more important thing to you than winning a Super Bowl. I'm going to tell you, I don't think Andy Reid said, yes, please go out and create a political lightning rod for us because that's going to help us win a championship. That's the question that's there. Are they focused on what it's going to take to do it again?
All right, so clear this out for me. When you are covering the Chiefs, I feel like they always have controversy. I feel like it goes, you know, off the field stuff, whether it's Kareem Hunt, whether it's Tyreek Hill, whether there's just stuff. I mean, Andy Reid himself has had tremendous personal tragedy while he's been there. Then you also have the Jackson Mahomes, Brittany Mahomes stuff never ends. And then the biggest of them all is you've got the biggest superstar in the world that the league has decided to pledge fealty to every time she's sitting in the box, much to the chagrin of people like me. I don't know. I guess maybe just from an outsider's perspective, I'm looking at a team that turned it off for about 6 weeks in the middle of the season last year. And I just said, okay, that run's over with because Travis Kelce's old and slow. And then they reminded us all who they were. And they went into Baltimore and stuck it to them and went into Buffalo. I mean, did these incredibly impressive things. So I hate to say this because I love the parity in the NFL. I love how hard you have to work, that every week is like a playoff game. But the Chiefs have proven to us that no matter what's going on in the offseason or during the season, when they turn it on, they're just better than everybody else. I would assume that's because of coach and because of quarterback. So why wouldn't that be the same this year?
Yeah, and for sure. Listen, they are a team that's unfortunately experienced in dealing with this kind of off-the-field distraction and adversity. I'll say that the Jackson Mahomes and Brittany Mahomes situations have calmed down quietly. The charges against Jackson Mahomes have just kind of gone away. Brittany Mahomes has been pretty low key. I think, you know, you don't get out as much when you're now a mother of two, and we haven't heard as much from her, or maybe people have just gotten bored with watching an individual's Twitter account. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at it the wrong way, but you are right when you talk about the let's call them real off the field issues, not things that are social media phenomenons, right? Like, and you know, Isaiah Bugs, I'll throw in Charles Omenihu. They signed as he had a domestic abuse case against him last year in San Francisco. He missed the first six games last year and came on and played great football for him. And now he's hurt. He got hurt in the playoff run and might be back towards the end of the season. They had Frank Clark with weapons charges, and they signed him after he had a domestic case with the Seattle Seahawks. They are not adverse from signing players who have been at risk with off the field issues in the past. And they continue. And you know, it comes out that Rashee Rice was, you know, alleged to have been involved in a shooting at SMU, where he shot into an empty car, to be clear, at a back and forth gunfight, but a dispute over somebody's girlfriend, whatnot, and shots were fired into a car, and Rashee Rice was accused of being there, being even one that did it. That did never play out in the courts, but that was information that other teams had, and they still chose to draft Rashee Rice, and we've seen that he has now made mistakes here. So, look, I think there's an element of, one, they want to win. They really want to win, and they will look past guys' problems. I do also think, and listen, I don't want to paint it as noble. I think Andy Reid and the organization does want to give second chances. But when you have the propensity of problems that they have, there's no doubt that they err way too far on the side of taking the risk. And what we ask ourselves here is, you have Patrick Mahomes. Do you really need to be taking those risks? It seems like that's something you do when you have a mediocre quarterback and you feel like you have to have the perfect 52 to win. You have the ultimate answer in Patrick Mahomes. Why do you take a risk on these players? Take the safer player and just move on down the road.
All right. They have – it's you can't say they've struggled to replace Tyreek Hill because they're winning championships as he's, you know, getting considered for MVP down in Miami. It's weird how it's paid off for both of them. It reminds me of Baker and – Cleveland, but it's still a narrative, and you've seen them try to cobble together with these pieces, you know, MVS, some of these guys that have come and gone there. Marquise Brown gets brought in. I think, you know, he's explosive, but he hasn't played a full season since 2021. Xavier Worthy, the Buffalo Bills, I don't know how everyone doesn't get fired. They facilitate handing the keys to the fastest player in the draft to the one team they can't get past. I still cannot imagine. Everyone focuses on Kirk Cousins in that draft scenario, but the Bills got a pass there, in my opinion. I know Irv Smith was signed there, I believe. I don't know where he is in his career. He was a pass-catching threat at tight end for many years. Have they done enough to kind of overcome the 23-point, 19-point, you know, we have Patrick Mahomes throwing for 239 yards and a couple of picks? It just, there was an acknowledged lack of weaponry last year outside of Isaiah Pacheco, and when, of course, the tight end turned it back on in the playoffs. But the Chiefs did not look like themselves. It was still enough to win. Do we believe now they finally addressed some of these skill position players in the offseason meaningfully, where the past few years, I would say they have not?
Yeah, I think, you know, last year was a little bit of them, you know, the last 2 years. One, they knew they were going to take a step back when they moved on from Tyreek Hill, but they knew that they couldn't have, they basically chose Chris Jones over Tyreek Hill. They knew they were going to have to handle Chris Jones' contract and do those kind of things. And they said, okay, let's get, and frankly, they could get more resources for Tyreek Hill. He had more trade value. And so they went down that route, and they knew they'd take a step back receiver-wise. They did their best with Marquez Valdez-Scantling, drafting Sky Moore in the second round. Neither one of those guys really paid off. They had moments in playoff runs, which, you know, so no one hates the fact that they were here because they won championships, right? That covers up everything. But they clearly, you know, over the last 2 years, had eroded. And finally, after just a horrible performance on Christmas Day against the Raiders, where they get slapped around and the offense is terrible, they quit trying to make Kadarius Toney a thing. They quit trying to make Sky Moore a thing and just said, okay, Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, Marquez Valdez-Scantling at least can stretch the field. Occasionally he'll catch the ball. And Justin Watson, we're going to stick with these guys. And we're going to let our defense, you know, carry the weight. I mean, the defenses, they knew they could keep putting them back out on the field and get production from them, and they did. Time and time again, they did it in the playoffs, and they just tried to say, okay, we're going to move the chains. We're going to go ahead and kick field goals with Harrison Butker, who's was the best kicker in football last year, and we'll play old style of football. That's not recommended. And listen, they were dead, you know, dead on arrival after that Raider game. They did not score a lot of points. They managed to win because Patrick Mahomes would pick them up, and when you give him the fourth down, which frankly I think most teams should do more if you've got Patrick Mahomes, certainly the Chiefs should, all of a sudden you can get some things done. And they found their rhythm within that scale back offense. But defense is a hot and cold thing. It was hot last year, and they deserve credit. They put that defense together. And Steve Spagnuolo, I think, will keep them in the top 10. But to think they're going to be number two in points and number two in yards after losing L'Jarius Sneed and Willie Gay this offseason, I don't think so. Like, they lose some depth. They're okay in the secondary, really. Because they've got great depth there. They will miss L'Jarius Sneed because of his great talent, but they're still four or five deep at the cornerback position. Dave Merritt's an incredible defensive backs coach and should be a defensive coordinator in this league already. Steve Spagnuolo is great at that part of the equation, so they'll be good. They have to be better on offense, and that's why Hollywood Brown was brought in. That's why Xavier Worthy was drafted out of Texas with the fastest 40 time, is they know they've got to stretch the field. And those guys have got to do more than just run fast. They've got to run fast and catch the ball, because Kadarius Toney was supposed to be one of those guys. He literally cannot catch the ball unless he's about, you know, 5 feet from the line of scrimmage. And so if those players, and it'll probably take half a season like it did for Rashee Rice, if Rashee Rice plays all year, and if those players, Hollywood Brown will be better than any other wideout they had last year. And if they got it right with Xavier Worthy, then I think you could see this offense get back to where it was, being one of the top three offenses in the NFL, and they're going to need to be better offensively, because they're not going to be, in all likelihood, they won't be as good defensively.
Soren, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but Travis Kelce has a podcast with his brother.
I heard about this.
And then recently they were talking, and Travis explained that if he was ever going to leave the Chiefs, he would do it for a team in Europe.
Well,
and
he said more than that. I mean, he was excited about it.
The only situation is if I get to play abroad, and he would want his home team to be abroad. Do you see the Europe games and Europe teams as a novelty, or do you see them as something that possibly does have real heat in the future with the NFL?
I've had conversations with people, you know, in the league. I know for a while they were fancying the idea before the Rams moved out to LA of building a multi-team, like maybe even like a complex that would house two teams in LA, and then also two teams that could travel in, and then they were going to build a two-team complex in New York, and that's how they would facilitate. Like, if you were the London Monarchs, for lack of a better term, you would fly over, you would play the Jets, then you would practice there, you'd fly to New England, play the Patriots, come back, practice there, and then maybe play the Bills, you know, then fly over to California, practice at that facility, play the Niners, practice at that facility, play the Rams, and then have a bye week and go home. Like, you'd do this 3-4-5 week tour, and they'd have these facilities for European teams. And likewise, West Coast teams going to London, 49ers would go and play the Jets, then practice there for a week, and then maybe play the Bills, and then fly over to London, play London, and then come back. This was their vision for how they could make it work. And, you know, at some point, clearly, Stan Kroenke said, enough of this, and went and built his own stadium. And so, I you know, since that time, that it was all kind of like L.A. was going to kind of maybe be boiled in, was the thinking with the European expansion. I think it'll happen one day. I've been told what they want to do is get to where they have 8 games and they sell an 8-game season ticket in London, and London proves that they will support a team that way, and then we'll get there. But I don't see it coming anytime soon.
How's the look, man? Kansas City is about, you want to talk about the way I'm wired, is barbecue and football, the middle of the cut. Like that's me. But Travis Kelce is living a jet setting life right now. And he walked those comments back very quickly. And it may not seem like much, especially, I just think it's so stupid for these guys to host podcasts, because if you're speaking long form, Seren, you know this, you could say all kinds of things because you have to fill a void. You've got to fill hours and hours of content, but it's just way more impactful when you're not only, you're the superstar player that's still playing. Like, I don't care if Terrell Owens and Chad Ochocinco want to do a podcast after both of them are retired, but all these guys doing it while they're playing, to me, I know the money's lucrative, but it's for moments like this. It's just him being honest and saying, hey, man, like, I like London. I'd like to do that. But if I'm a Chiefs fan, like, what, are you just sitting around waiting for that because your girlfriend's always over? I see it from both sides. Like, how big of a story was that there?
Yeah, not really that big. I mean, Travis Kelce's off seasons are really, he does a lot of things. I'm going to tell you, you're going to see him and Patrick Mahomes, I'm sure, at the American Century Championship Celebrity Golf Tournament. American Century is a Kansas City company, and they invite, you know, Justin Timberlake and Aaron Rodgers and, you know, quarterbacks and Steph Curry and Michael Jordan's played in it. And, you know, Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes have been regulars in that here for several years. I think you'll see them there along with a lot of other NFL guys. But Kelce was going to France. He fancied himself as a, you know, maybe getting into the fashion business. And he's always said the off season is your time to go, you know, try to figure out what you want to do and after football. And, you know, he's always been ready to play. And after he had microfracture surgery and missed his first year with the Chiefs, he was pretty much ready to go every game. He wanted to play in the opener this year. They kept him out of that after he hyperextended his knee, but he was back for week two, played every game up until the end. And frankly, you know, giving him the break, getting 2 weeks off was really what revitalized him. He had his fastest time he'd been clocked in like 3 years in the Super Bowl. And I think it came from getting some rest, getting those bye weeks, getting the bye week before the Super Bowl, getting 2 weeks off before he played in the first playoff game. You know, he has always been ready to play. But I think when you factor it in, when you see everybody else on the team, like we mentioned to start things off, all the off-the-field issues, like, are they focused on football? And I think it's a relevant question to ask. The podcast is a big deal. I'll say this, when Jason Kelce isn't in the huddle anymore and isn't an Eagle, we'll see how relevant it becomes. When both of them are done playing, it will be very different. You and I both know this. Like, guy, when you're active, you're the hottest thing going.
Yeah.
5 years after you're done playing, nobody remembers who you are. And that will, they'll experience that as well. That podcast will experience that as well. That's not to detract from them. They do a great one, probably the best players podcast out there, but it's different when you're not in the game. But all that being said, you know, they've done that podcast for a couple of years and they've won two championships. So I don't think that alone is enough, but I think it's real to ask about everybody on this team. And Travis Kelce's the most public for sure. Are they focused on winning another championship? Because this will probably, in all likelihood, be the toughest one of the three if they're able to pull it off.
It's at Seren Petro on X, and of course, the Red, Gold, and Bold podcast for all Kansas City Chiefs. Two deep podcasts as well for all things football. Speaking of all things football, Rodgers shows up at the UFC fight. Florio's apoplectic. I just don't even know. Like, I mean, that guy is just. I don't know how you feel about Florio. He's always been real good to me. Like, he's always come on all my shows. But the way that he inserts his views about players onto his blog, sometimes I just think it's a bit much. And it seems like that with Aaron Rodgers. But people hate Aaron Rodgers now. And I'm sure it's about all the off-the-field stuff. I don't know if it's about the way he left Green Bay. I think it's, you know, how you feel about the way he feels about vaccines. If you agree with him, you like him. And if you don't, you don't. But I don't know how else he's got to show his face in society again, and showing up at a fight seems like something a lot of players do. And that story's behind us. And I think if New York starts off 2-1, we forget all about that. And they start off 1-2, it becomes a huge narrative again. Now that he's kind of resurfaced and we have this, I don't know if it's confirmed, somebody on Colin Cowherd said he was in Egypt. I don't know. Why does it matter where he was? He still wanted to be there more than he wanted to be at minicamp. How do you feel about that story now that he has reemerged into society?
You know, I think it's interesting. First of all, when it comes to Mike Florio is known. He's known as I'm sure every team thinks every national guy hates them because sure. They don't just constantly say positive things. But, you know, so there's all those dynamics. There's all the football is so big that you know, issues get, you know, football is almost life, and the other issues get brought into it because football is more important, right? It's almost like the battery's in backwards. So first, Aaron Rodgers, we have to talk about him because he plays football, and then his political views or whether or not he shows up or doesn't show up for mini camp become something because football first and foremost is important and he's doing something different. So look, I'll say this, you know, if you're the Jets, if you don't have a quarterback, I watched Kansas City go through, you know, some good ones, some pretty good to very good, Alex Smith, Trent Green, but a lot of bad quarterbacks, and you are desperate when you don't have it. And if you can get one or two good years out of a quarterback, it's worth it. And you're willing to look past all the warts. But I will tell you that one of the most underrated things about Patrick Mahomes is he is at every OTA and mini camp. He is at every practice. He is the first one in, the last one to leave, and he has passing camps at his house where he brings everybody down, and they work out extra down there with him. And that is a big part of it. Everything that he has, the physical gifts are there, but the work ethic is second to none. His commitment to football is second to none. And his commitment to winning is much more so than, yes, people around him may be in the limelight. And, yeah, he does a lot of commercials, but Patrick Mahomes is not on, you know, every TMZ that you see. I mean, for the most part, he keeps to himself and focuses on the main thing, which for him is football. And I think there are some quarterbacks that could probably take a page out of his book from that.
Yeah, I'm with you because the quarterback gets, you know, all the credit, all the victory, all the spoils. So just physically being there, even if he didn't throw a pass, just being around the boys, I think is the way to go. But Pat Mahomes ain't 40, you know. He also hasn't been through what Aaron Rodgers has been through. And Aaron Rodgers is coming off this aggressive injury. And I think it was Eisen made the point where he said, look, whatever it's going to take for this guy to mentally be where he needs to be when the season begins and stay there the whole time, that is more important. And he let the team know, and the team could have moved the camp. And there was just, it was this perfect storm of, oh my God, it's the Jets being the Jets again. And then, oh, here's weird ass Aaron Rodgers being weird ass Aaron Rodgers. So it's a confluence of factors.
I will say this. I mean, I think it's more like mentally, yes, you want him to be where he wants to be, but I'll tell you one of the things I was told about his days in Green Bay and where he got sideways with Mike McCarthy was, you know, you put a game plan in, you build an offense, and then you put a game plan in week by week and really over the course of the whole year, things you want to show early that you're going to counter later and do all these things. And, you know, you have a within the game, like we're going to show things in quarter one and two, and then we're going to counter off that in quarters three and four. And Aaron Rodgers was notorious for coming in and not liking the play, wanting to go for something else. And they never did the things that laid the groundwork to get the stuff in the third and fourth quarter because Aaron Rodgers would check out of the setup plays, right? Because he wanted to get something done right away, immediately, and not think big picture. And that's where it kind of went sideways between Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers is you'd lay a game plan out, you focus on it, you practice it all week, and then the quarterback says, nah, I don't feel like that right now. We're going to go another way. Aaron Rodgers wants to do his own thing. Is it because he seeks attention? Does he do all these things because he just needs the attention? We've seen certainly diva wide receivers go that route where they just need more and more and more. Antonio Brown being the latest. And Terrell Owens, you know, is that what Aaron Rodgers is? He just craves the attention. He needs the attention because of some inner insecurity. I don't know. But I know real football people have said there are real football problems when it comes to Aaron Rodgers and doing a game plan because Aaron Rodgers wants to do what Aaron Rodgers wants to do, whether that's going to Egypt in the offseason or checking out of a play and running something different, and it doesn't always help the football team.
That's interesting. Yeah, if it leaves, and that's funny because the quote is all that outside the world BS needs to stop when we come into this room, and it would be very hypocritical if he was saying all that when he's the one that's bringing all that excess baggage to the table. It is at Sarin Petro on X and, of course, the Red, Gold, and Bold podcast, Too Deep podcast. Go find him, consume his content. He's one of the best in the biz. Thank you so much, brother. Really appreciate the time. Can't wait until we can talk about some training camp up in the very near future.
Looking forward to it, Dukes. You're the man.
How can I be the man when you're the man? Sarin Petro, everybody, on Both Types of Sports.
Thanks for listening to Both Types of Sports. Please leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you are listening to the show. And don't be afraid to share the show with a friend.